הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה, הווה נגילה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה, הווה נרננה ונשמחה. אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים בלב שמח, אורו אחים, אורו אחים בלב שמח. Hello, this is Judge Eve, and welcome to the show. It's my attempt at singing. I don't think I'll become an opera star anytime soon, but it's in Hebrew, and it says, come on, let's be happy and sing. And today I'm so blessed to have Pastor Michael Cummins from London. He is has a show on revelationtv.com, which anyone can access from technically anywhere in the world. It's a Thursday, London time, midnight to 2 a.m. It's called Voice in the Wilderness. And if you're on the east coast of the United States, it becomes 7 o'clock p.m. your time. I'm on the west coast, so it's 4 o'clock p.m. And I want to tell you, this gentleman is one of the most powerful prayer warriors I have ever listened to in my life. When I listened to his show, I couldn't keep my eyes open. And I asked him to wake me up if I fall asleep during the show. But Pastor Michael, welcome, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Judge Eve, for inviting me to come on the show. It's a real blessing, and it's a joy to be able to speak to the people in the USA.
Amen. Amen. Let me ask you, did you have any verse in particular you'd like to add? If not, I have a couple of verses that I would like to add.
Well, one I always use when I pray for people who need healing, I use a verse from Malachi 4, verse 2.
Yes.
And it says, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings.
Amen. 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 Let me tell you, you know, we shouldn't be doing that. But I said, Lord, what do you want me to look at today? I got to Psalms 109, and the title is Prayer for the Punishment of the Wicked. You like that?
I do, yes. Very much.
And just to read a couple of the verses, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compassed me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. You know what situation I'm thinking about, right?
Right.
For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set thou a wicked man over him, and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. So then I tried to find something else, you know, Psalms 121. And I will lift up my eye unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He hath kept thee, will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. So that's for us. And then
Amen.
I will let... And then I was led to Matthew, you know, what Jesus talks about, forgiveness, and I thought that was very fitting as well. You know, when they, you know, chapter 11, verse 22, 21 actually, then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? And number 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. And, you know, years ago when I read that, I said, God, does that mean I keep turning my head from side to side to side? But
well, I've got another scripture I'd like to give you.
Yes, please.
You know, for anyone out there listening to the program that's troubled, that's tormented, that's worried about their future, I mean their future with the Lord, Hosea 6, verse 1 says, come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. And Joel said, 2, verse 32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. So I know anyone watching out there, there's no need for anyone to be tormented, no need for anyone to live in darkness. For the Lord God has sent his own son, Jesus. And Obadiah said, but upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance. So there's deliverance and healing for anyone out there tonight listening who wishes it. All they have to do is call on the name of the Lord.
Yes, and let me give the phone number here, even though I put it in the ad for if people, and we welcome your calls. You can either call at 1-888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008 or 530-327-7602. That's 530-327-7602. I would also like to give your information, Pastor Michael, in case people want to contact you directly. Okay. Do you want to give them your email? And I'd like people to send you some offerings as well. I'd like to give your address. Go ahead.
Okay, that's fine. Would you like me to give me my home address? You want me to give you my home address?
I think I have it here. Tell me if I'm correct. 12
okay.
Bailey Crescent. Let me
spell number 12.
It. Number 12. B-A-I-L-E-Y, and then the word Crescent, like Crescent Moon, and then Chessington, like Chess, I-N-G-T-O-N, Surrey, S-U-R-R-E-Y. And the zip code there is K, T like Tom, 9, 2, S like Sam, L, United Kingdom. And
Amen.
If they wanted to contact you for prayer, Pastor Michael, should they email you or call you, or what would you have them do?
Well, I'll give you my, you've got my email address, Judge, haven't you?
I do.
Shall I read it out?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Okay. It's frame, like picture frame, F-R-A-M-E. Cummins, C-U-M-M-I-N-S, all one word, 123@AOL.com.
That's wonderful. What I would like to do, Pastor Michael, because people don't know you, excuse me, tell us, first of all, how long have you been in ministry altogether?
I've been in ministry 16 years, in deliverance ministry and healing ministry primarily, but I am an ordained pastor in the Pentecostal Church.
Praise God. What led you to go not so much into healing, but the deliverance ministry? How did that come about?
As a young man, I was born into a family. I was born into dire poverty in a poor part of London, and my father was a lapsed Irish Catholic, and my mother was a Romany gypsy from European Spanish origin, and I hadn't been baptized, and there was various problems in the family with my father's Catholic background and my mother's lack of religious upbringing. So
were you baptized?
I'm sorry. We were never baptized.
You were not baptized.
When I was a young man, a boy at school, I was 8 years of age, asked me to come to the Boy Scouts with him. And I was quite a loner. I felt very alone in life, and I felt different.
Why?
And I went to the Boy Scouts with him, and while I was there, I liked it so much that the scout leader asked me to come to church parade on Sunday, which
wow.
I went.
Yes.
And when I went there, I was attacked viciously. I felt a high-pitched buzzing noise in one of my ears, a bit like a frequency when it goes wrong on a radio. And I felt very disorientated. And when I went home after there, I felt I was being followed, and I felt very, very strange, and I couldn't understand why. And when I went home, I started experiencing demonic attacks.
In what
the bed
way?
Would shake when I got in at night. I would hear swear words against the Lord constantly all day long. And I had no idea why this was happening to me. And I went to my mother, and I said to my mother, I told her what was going on. And she said to me, it's just the devil come to claim your soul. And
she knew that?
To me, even though I was so young, and I was terrified.
But she knew that it was the devil. That's what's amazing.
It was the devil,
me.
And this went on for about a year. And I was, I used to be lifted up off the bed and thrown on the floor and various things like that. Then one morning I used to pray and I used to say about 1,000 times a day, God is good, Jesus is love. And the only form of religious education I had was then in the state schools which I attended. We used to have an assembly every morning where we would sing 3 hymns and say prayers and say a psalm, and there would be a short lesson from the headmaster, the head teacher. And one morning I always remember I was too frightened to go to sleep of a night because I became terrified of the dark.
How old were you then?
So I used to lay awake all night and go to sleep when the first light come up in the morning. And one morning as I awoke, I prayed to the Lord and I asked the Lord to help me. And I didn't know who God was or what I was praying. But the room became bathed with light. And I felt light move up all up my arm and all over my body. And the fear and the pain went away. And that was when I was a young man.
How old were you, Pastor Michael?
And years later in my life, I, you know, was drawn to the Lord. And I joined an American ministry when they were touring in London and they had crusades in London.
Yes.
And that was Don Stewart's ministry. And I was ushering for them when they came to London to do their crusades.
Yes.
And one particular night, two African women sought me out. And I was just an usher. And one of them asked me to pray for her. And I said, well, I can't pray for you. I'm not a pastor. I'm only an usher. But they were determined that I pray for them. They said the Holy Spirit sent them to see me. And I prayed for one young lady. And she had demons in her. And the demons came out. They came out with power. I took authority.
How could you
lay hands on her and said, in the name of Jesus, I command you to come out. And they came out. And the miracle was this lady wasn't even a Christian. She was actually a Muslim.
Wow.
And the next day she went into a church and gave her life to the Lord. What birthed me in the deliverance ministry.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me, Pastor Michael?
Yes, I can.
Okay, forgive me for disturbing, but I have questions as you talk, so forgive me for interrupting you.
Yes,
first
please.
Of all, how old were you when you had those experiences with the demons throwing you out of the bed and before you accepted Jesus?
Between the ages of 8 and 9.
And nothing before that you can think of? Did you have bad dreams?
Nothing. I did have tuberculosis before. Then I had two life-threatening diseases as a small boy. I had diphtheria and tuberculosis, but the Lord healed me from both of them.
Before you knew the Lord?
Before I knew the Lord, yes.
You know, the reason I'm asking is because I'm very aware of generational curses, you know, and that's why I wanted you to talk about it. You know, when you say your mother was a Romani gypsy,
yes. Did
she actually engage in soothsaying, you know, giving futuristic reading to people, or do you know, or anybody in her family?
No, but my mother had a terrible temper, and she was very bitter and vindictive. My father used to play her about somewhat. During the war years, my father...
We apparently got disconnected from London. It shouldn't be, because the world is not pretty much one. Excuse me, but again, if anybody would like to call in for prayer, you're talking to someone who is awesome, awesome in deliverance and in healing. And the numbers to call in are 1-888-627-6008 or 530-327-7602. Pastor Michael, are you there?
Yes, certainly I am, Eve.
Did you hear how you got disconnected?
I got disconnected, yes. I think we're attacking the forces of darkness, and they tried to disconnect us.
It's exactly what I was thinking. Isn't that funny? And in the meantime, But let me ask you, so your mother had a temper, which probably, my dad had a terrible temper, too. But do you think it was like a curse in the family line?
Well, I remember once there was a lady who lived opposite us, and we went into the local shop, the local store, and she told the man there that I'd stolen from his shop, and I hadn't done it, and the man accused me, and I said, it wasn't me, it must have been someone who looked like me.
Yes.
Who told you? And he said that he told me this lady went and said that she'd seen me steal from the shop, and I went home and told my mother, very upset, and my mother went up there over there and cursed this woman something terrible.
Wow.
She cursed the woman on her own doorstep.
Wow.
And 12 months later, the woman, in fact, died of a brain tumor.
Wow. Wow. So, see, she didn't, in a way, engage in witchcraft, either knowingly or unknowingly. And what I'm thinking is part of the reason you had these demonic experiences is because of the bloodline. Had you ever taken communion for your bloodline? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I have, yes. Yes.
Oh, praise God.
And I have been separated from, you know, I have been separated from all ancestral curses now.
Good.
On my mother's side of the family. I have a prayer that I offer to everyone who believes they have ancestral curses. We go back to the first, the founder of the bloodline on the male side and the founder of the bloodline on the female side, and we break curses through every one of those bloodlines that can be accounted for. And we literally go back and we break the curses of witchcraft, sexual immorality, idolatry, murder, and we literally name all the sins and we go right back. It quite takes some time, but it does set the captives free.
But you have done that, you know, because I'm thinking, you know, I had somebody on the show, Pastor Hanneman, you know, I've told you about him, and I've asked him to pray for me, not so much because I know I'm covered with the blood of Jesus, but because of my family line. Because both my mother and her mother would see the deceased people from the family. You know, my mother would see my dad and say, I'm afraid to tell anybody because they'll think that she was crazy. But he would come to her all dressed up and say, come on, let's go dancing. I said, Mommy, you tell him to come back here. You go dancing.
And I have heard similar things.
Really?
You know, people in certain parts of Africa, they actually put food offerings out for dead ancestors on their birthday anniversaries or certain times of the year. And
they put
out feasts. Sometimes they lay out feasts for the dead ancestors to come and feast on. And when they believe the dead ancestors have feasted, they go and eat what's left.
Wow.
So it is something in different parts of the world.
What about China?
The biggest ceremony for ancestors, of course, is Halloween. And in Britain, Halloween, if you look at the history of Halloween, it means that you're making offerings to the dead ancestors on the day when they come back, claiming they come back to the place they last lived in. So, you know, this thing is a worldwide phenomenon when we think of, you know, ancestral curses or praying to dead ancestors. It's something that's done all over the world.
And look at China. You know, many in the Eastern, you know, East Asia, I mean, they pray to their ancestors, right? And they honor them.
Yes.
I think Buddhists do, you know, many other religions. And, you know, what people don't understand, maybe you can touch upon, how do we endanger ourselves if we access certain behaviors or certain objects even? I'm sure you've seen that, right?
Well, the thing is about it, you know, when people claim, if people go to a spiritualist church, for argument's sake, and they ask someone to contact a dead ancestor, and the medium or the leader at the spiritualist church says, I have your uncle here, he says he's happy, they're not actually engaging that person's uncle, they're engaging a familiar spirit.
Right.
Someone who has got information on that family and someone who's coming back with the sole attempt to deceive.
Yes.
And when people get drawn into that, you know, seeking this knowledge, then once they're sought into it, then, you know, this familiar spirit can then turn very, very nasty. I knew a lady in Ireland. I traveled to Ireland to do deliverance on this lady. And she believed her grandmother, the spirit of her grandmother, was with her. And after 2 weeks, she said in bed of a night, this elderly, lovely woman would stroke her hair and tuck her up into bed. Then after 2 weeks, she said that it turned into a hideous demon. And, you know, the woman was terrified and tormented by this.
Yeah, they come. Satan comes as an angel of light. In fact, I wasn't going to do it right yet, but you know Laura Maxwell, and she said it was okay. She asked me to ask you to pray for her to have full health and full restoration of energy.
Okay, so, we'll pray for her now. Dear Lord God, I lift up Laura Maxwell in Cumbernauld, just outside Edinburgh in Scotland, and Lord, this woman now is serving you.
Yes.
She has moved from darkness to light, and you have redeemed her, O Lord. And we come against every spirit of infirmity tonight, every spirit of sickness. We come against multiple cirrhosis and all the consequences of multiple cirrhosis. We come against tiredness. We come against fatigue. And we come against all heaviness, for the word of God said that he gave us beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we can be trees of righteousness, a planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And we pray now for Laura to be absolutely, completely, and totally healed and made whole by the power of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which we shed for her. Amen.
Amen. Amen. See, people, you have no idea who Satan has to deal with when he faces Pastor Michael. So, Pastor Michael, jumping a little bit forward, you said that you were the usher at a Christian church, and these two women came in, and you said one of them was a Muslim, and you prayed, and the demons came out. How did you know at that time the demons came out? What did you see?
Well, at the time, she came up to me, and I tried to avoid them. I said, look, I'm only an usher. I'm not a pastor. And there was about 20 pastors present at this conference.
Yes.
And I, there were two ladies. One was from Sierra Leone and one was from Ghana. And
yes.
I said, look, let me go and get you a pastor because I'm not even ordained. All I am is an usher in the church. And, you know, I have no authority to pray for you. But they said, no, we were told to come to you and nobody else. And
wow.
I said at the time, who told you? And they said, the
yes.
Holy Spirit. And I said, well, I doubt that very much. You must be mistaken. And they said, we're not mistaken. So I asked the pastor and I said, you
yes.
know, these women want me to pray for them. Shall I? And they said, if they want you to pray for them, pray for them.
Wow.
And as I laid my hands on this particular woman's head, I put my hand on her stomach and it felt like a serpent was moving in her stomach.
Wow.
And I put my hand on her head and she vomited immediately.
Exactly.
And she fell to the floor and started shaking uncontrollably. And then
yes.
she coughed and this this slime came out of her mouth and it laid on the
yes.
floor next to her. And
yes.
when I got up, she her countenance had changed. She looked different. Her
yes.
stomach had gone flat again. And she went home in peace.
Wow. You know, how did you know at that time to put your hand on her stomach to pray for her?
Well, earlier that day, I'd been praying in my house, and I asked God to send me the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the baptism of fire.
Yes.
And later on that day, when we were setting up for this conference, I
yes.
was setting up chairs, and one of the other ushers asked me to lay some chairs out in a certain place. And as I turned around to speak to this man, I started speaking in tongues for the first time in my life.
Wow.
And I felt heat all over me. And
yes.
I remember that night going home on the train from the conference, and everyone was staring at me because I looked like I'd sat under a sun lamp for too long. I was burning up, and I had the fire all over me.
Do you know why I'm laughing? For two reasons, because I know exactly what you're talking about. And it's very interesting to me what you just said. You know, I had interviewed Pastor Daniel. You know, I'd written you about him from Australia.
Yes, yes.
And he, too, had that light experience. So, you know, I told you about my experience with that,
yes,
you know,
yes.
the light from the heavenlies. And I, too, have been baptized with fire. In fact, I was
right.
ministering. Pardon me?
Yes, yes.
And what I'm realizing is God is raising up this army, you know, who has to be specially trained and cut away, you know, and pruned. You know, John 15, 1 through 15, you know, how God talks about how he has to prune us so we'll have more fruit,
yes,
like you
yes.
prune a tree. I said, God, enough already. I'm too fruity as it is, you know.
I'll tell you a funny story,
yes.
funny story, Eva. I remember one day a woman rang me up, a Nigerian lady. And she
yes.
was terrified. She was having demonic manifestations. And she rang
oh
me from a phone box.
Wow.
And a call box. And I remember while she was there, there was a man outside, and he wanted to use the call box desperately. But
yes.
I said, don't let him in. Just apologize to him and tell him we'll be free in a minute. Anyway,
yes.
I was praying for this woman, and I said to this, I said, demon, I send Holy Ghost fire against you now to burn
yes.
you out of this woman. Leave
Ooh.
Now in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
And the woman said she felt better straight away. And this man was outside the phone box, and she said he saw the fire and ran down the road in terror. That's what she said.
But you see, you know, we need to have that fire in these latter days to fight off the demons effectively. You know, because
well, God, you know, the Bible tells us that God is a consuming fire.
Fire, yes.
So if God is a consuming fire and he pours that fire into our lives and he gives us that anointing of fire, then
yes.
we can take our stand against the devil and every demon and evil spirit. And
yes.
it's not us doing it. We just have to be bold enough to go forward, and God will do the rest.
And you see, you say bold, but it's also trained and cut away and redoubled, and you know, like to take
yeah.
everything out of us so he shows himself, not us, you know, showing
Amen.
Ourselves, you know. Because one other story, I used to minister like twice a month, you know, working full time, four children, but twice a month I'd go ministering. And always, you know, God, what do you want me to talk about? And it was particular what they called an advance for women, not a retreat, but an advance.
Right.
And it was, in him there is no shadow of turning. You know, and
Amen.
The image, right? And the image I had was of the agitating of the washing, you know, washing machine. You know, how it goes back and forth and back and forth.
Yes, yes, of course.
And I had a little friend who was with me, and I said, Glad, by the way, you know, I sang a Hebrew song at the beginning. I said, you bring Israeli music because I think I'm leaving. You know, I was leaving the place. And I ministered whatever I ministered, you know, and she told me later, two things happened. After the speaking, I was hot like on fire, right? And I'm up before God, but I think this time it was Jesus sitting like what I call the chair, like where President Lincoln is, you know, that marble straight back chair.
Amen.
And I'm on steps by him, and he touches my head, and he says, well done, my faithful servant. And I, like, when I was ministering, I had to, like, make my hand go over the people, and she said she could see brands of fire coming out of my hands. And when I sat down, we had, like, bridge chairs, you know, those metal bridge chairs? The people, three chairs away from me could feel the heat come down to them. And then she showed me pictures. I was wearing a white outfit, and my face was red like a beet. And I said, what is that? What's wrong with the film? She said, no, that's what you look like. And, you know, I had wondered, Pastor Michael, you know how it says God is in glory, right? He sits in glory. Why did I not see the fire when I was there? So what I realize is when you're in the fire, you don't see the fire. Does that make sense to you?
Well, when we hear the story, you remember Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego?
Sure. Sure.
They're in the fiery furnace, but the flames didn't touch them, the flames didn't lick them. But when the attendant tried to draw near to the furnace they was in, he got terribly burnt. So when God is protecting you, that consuming fire shall not consume you.
Once
you're with the Lord, you're serving the Lord, you're doing the Lord's will, then that fire won't consume you.
Wow.
But anything evil, anything ungodly, anything unholy will be consumed by that fire.
Yes, that's why he, you know, I heard the story one time, the reason Adam and Eve had to be cast out of the Garden of Eden, not because God hated them, but he's such pure fire that if he were to hug them, they would die. You know, it's like when I had that beam of light come upon me, you can hardly contain that power. You know, it says new wine has to be new wineskin. By the way, let me give a phone number again to call, and I'd like to give your email out again. And again, people, you've got to help Pastor Michael. He needs to have support. Not only he gives out everything from his heart, he needs to be financially supported. And you may send him money orders, checks, whatever. I don't know what you do about credit card. But it's to Pastor Michael Cummins, like Archangel Michael. And the last name is Cummins. His address is Bailey, Bailey, Crescent, Crescent, number 12, in Chessington, and that's like the word to play chess, Ington, and then the next word is Surrey, Surrey, and the zip code is K, like kangaroo, T like Tom, the number 9, the number 2, S like Sam, and L for Larry, United Kingdom. And let me give you his email address again. So again, if you need for him to pray for you, he'd be glad to do so, like anyone I've ever seen. And it's Frank Cummins. It's capital F like Frank, R-A-M like Mary, E. I say E like elephant, C for Charlie, U, umbrella, M like Mary, I like an igloo, N like Nancy, S like Sam, 123. At AOL.com. And we're going to go for a break now, and we'll talk a little bit up there, Pastor Michael. Hello, this is Judge Eve Ellingwood, known also as Cohen Sternlight. I'm so glad to be on BBSRadio.com every other Saturday, like this Saturday, June 2nd. I have a website, www.90210holocaust.com. That's HOLOCAUST.com. The story of my parents' murder in Beverly Hills by my brother and sister and the theft of their millions. I've written a couple of books, but one of them is available on the website as an ebook, Diary of Sober Faith in Action. Also, I am a prophet, I am a seer, and I am a healer, and if people are interested, I can set up appointments to help people for a fee, and it will depend on what's involved and what has to be done. And to reach me, you can reach me by my email, EE Judge Eve 79 at gmail.com. That's E like elephant, E like elephant, J U D like David, G like George, E like elephant, V for victory, E like elephant, 79 at gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you and hearing what else you would like to hear on the show and what help you might need. Also, legally, especially for people who are unemployed, I can help. I cannot give specific advice, but I can help. Maybe also political issues and other legal issues and spiritual issues. Thank you. Look forward to hearing from you. Hello again, everybody. Despite a little bit of technical difficulties, we're back on with Pastor Michael Cummins from London. And I was just telling him that I was so upset at the opening ceremonies in London for the Olympics because it was demonic. And Pastor Michael, you said you had something to share about that.
Yes, though I didn't watch the opening ceremony myself, I was very worried. People told me that there was references to Harry Potter and various other things there. And I think the trouble is children these days have been given a diet of video games, computer games, TV programs, where demons are no longer seen as something terrifying and scary. If they'd have had my childhood experiences, they would have thought different. But, you know, the entertainment industry has sanitized demons. And, you know, you get programs now where there's even good demons on these programs and bad demons. Now, I have to tell everyone there's no good demon. Every demon is bad. And, you know, the sooner the entertainment industry realizes that what they're doing the will of Satan. They're not actually providing light and entertainment at all. And it's the same with the Harry Potter books. The Harry Potter books are, if you like, an entry, an open door into the world of the occult. And to the inquisitive mind who wishes to learn more about the occult, a perfect way of finding out the initial things of the occult and magic and that sort of thing is by watching Harry Potter films or reading Harry Potter books.
Which I have refused to do, and I know exactly what you're talking about because a picture is worth a thousand words. And you know what bothers me, they'll, in Hollywood, unless God does something, they'll never learn because they serve Satan. You know, if you knew some of what I know about what's going on in the world, you know, about the Illuminati group and the Trilateral Commission, this is pre-orchestrated. Do you know the Rothschilds allegedly came to be descendants from Nimrod in Babel? Did you know that?
I have seen references to it before. I've seen references to the Rothschilds and them being direct descendants from Nimrod. I have seen that, you know, myself.
And also what I've read was that Rothschild, they have a room where they actually worship Satan. For Lucifer, they have a place setting for him at their table. And this is what's controlling our world. And God says we're to wrest the land out of the hands of the enemy and that the wealth of the wicked is being laid up for the just. And you and I, Pastor Michael, agree that we wrest it all and bring it into the kingdom of God. I want you to have that money because I know you'll do good with it.
Well, I certainly will. I mean, I have dedicated the rest of my life now to serving the Lord and setting the captives free. I realize because of my childhood experience, God has given me anointing to deal with the things other people are too scared to deal with. And I have to tell you, as I've told you before, Judge, I'm more frightened of the mailman, the postman in the morning, than I am of the devil.
So, but the thing is, people need to be afraid because the devil is so subtle, right? You know, God showed me about 18 years ago now how we have to have subtle discernment. And I was collecting signatures for Pat Robertson to run for president, and I talked to somebody in Florida, and he said, oh, our minister is teaching that Satan is engaging in subtle deception. So we have to be so cautious. And, you know, maybe explain a little more. Why is it so important not to give Satan place? You know, like you said about that lady. Go ahead.
Well, the Bible says that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. And the thing is, if the devil appeared as a Tyrannosaurus Rex, a reptilian monster standing in the street breathing out fire, then everyone would know it was the devil and they would steer clear of him. But the devil these days, he comes dressed in an Armani suit. He infiltrates churches. because he infiltrates churches.
Yes.
He probably appears very good looking. He spends his time, and the demons spend their time around nightclubs and places of entertainment, bringing subtle seduction to young women, getting them involved in men so they lose their virginity before marriage, getting men involved in soft drugs and alcohol. And, you know, the devil is very, very subtle. I also think, you know, when we see what has gone on in history with Nazism and communism, we can see how the devil became political and infiltrated political organizations to create holocausts and, you know, to create genocide in certain parts of the world. So the devil is always reforming himself and always learning new tricks. That's why we have to be aware of those subtle deceptions of Satan.
Because what you're saying also, which is what happened with that lady in Scotland who saw her grandmother was coming to her, and then so it was an evil demon, that they come as something we like. They take us in, and then they show their true colors. And that's the problem, because Satan is here to kill, steal, and destroy, right?
Amen.
Amen.
Well, there's no doubt about that. What the devil is doing today, he's engaging people. He's engaging people in theology. He's trying to get people to, you know, turn away from God and look for all other forms of spirituality. And, you know, looking, chasing signs and wonders, chasing different forms of religion, chasing a peace that's not there, anything but turning to Jesus, because when someone turns to Jesus, then naturally they oppose him. What I've learned in the deliverance field, that people who are engaged in outright sin, people who are engaged in sexual sin, in drugs, in violence and that sort of thing, they never feel the presence of Satan around them, because they don't have to, because Satan has them bound and chained
by
their lifestyle. It's only when someone decides to look at that lifestyle and come away from that lifestyle, then they will find Satan starting attacking their lives and moving in on them, because he wants them to stay bound and chained in the place that he wants them.
And Jesus said he's come to set us free. And that's what you mean, that you come to take the binds off of the chain ones, right? And to set the captives free, you know? Let me ask you for a couple more prayers, if you don't mind. One is for...
Yes, certainly.
It's a friend. Her little boy is friends with a little boy named Jacob who's not saved yet. They just found out that his grandfather, Jerry, has lung cancer. And the grandparents are raising the child, so can we pray for Jerry to be healed of the lung cancer, and then for Jacob?
Yes, certainly. Dear Lord, we pray for young Jacob first, who's not saved yet. We pray, Lord, that something will impact into Jacob's life, and I believe that impact will be the healing of his granddad, Jerry. We lift up Jerry now, and we come against that cancer now. We come against every cancerous cell in that man's body. We come against every tumor, every lump, every growth. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we say now that cancer must leave his body. The word of God says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not his benefits, who forgiveth thine iniquities, who healeth thy diseases, and who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And we pray now that Jerry will be healed instantly as we pray now. We pray that the healing anointing will flow out of Jerry, and that cancerous lung will be healed instantly, and all cancerous cells will leave Jerry's body, and there will be a mighty testimony of healing, we pray. And Jacob will know that the God the God of Israel has healed him in the name of Jesus. And we pray for Jehovah Rapha, the God that healeth thee, to impact on Jerry's life now and heal him completely. So we pray.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. The other prayer request is for a guy named Nick. He's been in a homosexual lifestyle. It's so obvious from what I've heard that he's demon-possessed. And this particular friend has been praying for his salvation for quite a few years. And I saw him getting saved and actually serving the Lord. But can we pray? I don't think he's engaging in that lifestyle anymore. I've seen him like in treading water, you know, between one place to another, and came to me. Remember, like Jonah, you know, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, so, you know, God found a way to get him to Nineveh, right?
And his name's Nick.
Nick, yes.
Dear Lord, we lift up Nick to you now and thank you, Lord, that Nick has turned away from a promiscuous homosexual lifestyle.
Yes.
And in your word, Lord, you say man should not lay with man as man would lay with a woman. And we ask you to deliver him not only from the physical act of homosexuality, but from all his belief systems, everything he's learned while he engaged in homosexuality. And the book of Romans says, be no longer conformed to this world, but be renewed by, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And we pray now that Nick's mind is renewed, that he will totally reject the homosexual lifestyle, and he will have no sympathies or no leanings at all to that lifestyle. We pray that not only his body is delivered from the physical act of homosexuality, but his mind is set free from the memories and from the friendships and the associations he once had with all those who were homosexuals. Lord, we know that you love the people, Lord. You love the sinner, but you hate the sin. And we pray not only for him, but for everyone who wishes to be delivered from that lifestyle, to be delivered now, by the power of the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. What else? Because, you know, I am a seer. He was abused as a child. I thought it was a stepfather he had and or a minister. And from what I've read over the years, many times the Satanists, they put spirits into children by raping them. Have you heard anything about that, or do you know anything more about that?
Well, I do know that I do know in parts of Africa. I've prayed for with an African lady who said when she was a young woman she was taken into the bush and various herbs and potions were inserted into her back passage and inserted into her vagina. And we do know Satanists. You know, there's a book. I hope you can get it in the USA. It's written by a lady called Audrey Harper, and it's called Dance with the Devil. And it's about a young lady who came to London in the swinging 60s and was looking for a job on TV and radio. And she ended up working on the streets as a prostitute and was lured into a satanic coven. And she witnessed the raping of small children, and she speaks about it in her book. So we know Satanists try and rape small children to set them on a life of debauchery and sexual immorality when they're very, very young.
You know something else which I've heard before, too? When I read it, I thought, boy, God, you help me not to feed Satan. That Satan and his demons feed on our negative emotional reaction. Do you have anything to say about that?
Yes, they certainly do. And I'd like to bring something else into the discussion, if I may, Eve.
Yes.
The power of music is very powerful in these certain areas, certain types of music. You know, can affect our moods in such a way and can bring on depression, can bring on anger, can bring on violence. I know of a DJ in London who set an experiment. He was locked in a soundproof booth and he listened to gangster rap music for 2 hours and nobody interrupted him. And when he came out, he said he was shaking and he felt angry and he felt violent. So I think Satan also, especially with young children, tries to impose his will upon them by them listening to certain types of music which controls their moods and controls the way they are. Wow. If that music's sexually explicit and the lyrics are sexually explicit, I believe that he's trying to lure children from a young age into certain sexual behaviors. The same can be said of music that has violent, angry lyrics, as gangster rap music, etc., etc.
Exactly.
So I believe that the subtleties of Satan are far greater than we ever believe.
And, you know, when I heard some preachers say, oh, he's dumb or he's stupid, I say, you're misleading the people. That's not true. He's very smart, or he wouldn't get away with what he's been getting away with for so long.
When we look at Satan in his pre-earthly existence, when he was in heaven with the Lord, we know he... Hello, Eve.
Hello, Pastor Michael.
I tell you something. I'm going to say a prayer now. In the name of Jesus, I command every demon and evil spirit to take their filthy hands off this international phone line. You will not stop this program going ahead, and we will speak freely in the name of Jesus Christ. We know we are hurting the forces of darkness tonight by speaking openly about the subtleties of Satan. And we bind you and rebuke you all in the name of Jesus. You will leave this phone alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was going to ask you to for a couple more prayers, and then I wanted to find out from you what else you would like to share, or maybe you want to do it right now. What is so important on your heart that you feel needs to be known by the people?
Well, I think we need to know that, you know, that the devil, we're living in times of illusion.
Yes.
Some people are doing very, very well in the world. Some people tend to not look to God because they're financially secure.
Yes.
Some people tend to think because they've got millions of pounds in the bank and, you know, they're living very, very well, that they don't need God at all, that they're already blessed.
Right.
I have to tell them that they're living in times of illusion, that
yes.
when the end times do come properly and the tribulation years come upon us, that all these things will be removed for them. And the
Amen.
Only way they can make preparation now is to seek the Lord while he may be found. And that's
Amen.
On my heart today.
Amen.
You know, that we are in a battle.
Yes.
It's not simple enough that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we just wait for the rapture to take us up into heaven. We
right.
have to fight daily. We have to
yes.
fight daily with spiritual warfare and prayer. And that's
yes.
on my heart now.
Praise
the biggest
God.
Sin... The biggest sin against many Christians these days is apathy. They
yeah.
sit there comfortable, not worrying about what's going on in the world. They just sit there in their comfort, believing they're blessed, and they don't realize there's a rude awakening coming towards them, and they must make preparation now.
I agree. You know, as a prophet, we're the watchman on the wall, you know, like they did in old Jerusalem. You know, they would see the enemy coming, and then they would warn the people. So we're doing it spiritually, but you know how it is. People never listen to prophets.
You
know? What
no.
do they know? Have you noticed
people
that?
People are frightened of prophets.
Pardon me? The what?
People are frightened of prophets. People want to hear good things.
Exactly.
I go to churches all the time. And, you know,
yes.
I've got a saying. I've got a saying, Eva, I'd like to share with you.
Yes.
If you give people too much sugar, it rots their teeth and eventually their teeth fall out.
Right.
And some churches just give people sugar. They just
oh.
want to talk about blessings and finances and money
yeah.
and
yeah.
well-being. You know, we've got to give people the whole gospel, not
yes.
just the good parts. We've got to tell them the bad parts as well.
And because they need to be prepared. Otherwise, you know, it's like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it gets soft. If they don't exercise their spirit, it gets soft. And they need to be strong in the Lord. And, I, you know, part of what I have to do, you know, it's like your show. I'd like you to talk about it. Voice in the Wilderness, right?
Yeah, well, Voice in the Wilderness is a program
yes.
from Revelation TV. I mean,
yes.
I'm not employed by Revelation TV. I'm a guest presenter, as they call. And,
yes.
you know, this program goes out every Thursday at midnight UK time to 2 a.m.
Right.
Friday morning, and we pray for all sorts of people. We've had
yes.
two marvelous testimonies in the last 2 weeks. I prayed
oh,
for a lady
yeah.
on air who had chronic life-threatening hepatitis, and she's got healed. And there was
yes.
a lady called Isabel who sent me an email just this week, and she said that I prayed for her daughter some weeks ago who had liver cancer, and she's been healed as well.
Praise
so the
God.
Lord is moving mightily on that program, and the captives
yes.
are being set free.
And that's why I want to repeat again, people, you've got to support Pastor Michael with his wonderful wife, Janice, who works with him in the ministry. Let me give you his address again. It's Pastor Michael, like Archangel Michael, and you are that, Pastor Michael.
Bless you.
An and the last name is Cummins, C-U-M-M-I-N-S. The address is Bailey, B-A-I-L-E-Y, Crescent, like the crescent moon, number 12. The city or place is Chessington, like the word for chess game, and then N-G-I-N-G-T-O-N, Surrey, S-U-R-R-E-Y, and the zip code there, they have much longer zip codes than we do. It's K like kangaroo, T like Tom, the number 9, excuse me, the number 2, S like Sam and L for Larry, United Kingdom. And Pastor Cummins' email is F-R-A-M-E, like frame, like a picture frame with a capital F like Frank. And then Cummins, C-U-M-M-I-N-S, 123@AOL.com. And I would love for him to just have blessings and financial contributions come to him from everywhere in the world without stop. We need you, Pastor Michael. We need what you do, and I love what you do, so God bless you for that.
Thank you
know, one
you
other,
very much.
one of the very quick prayers.
Can I share something with you?
Please, go ahead.
I always remember when I was first in the early years of deliverance, I went to see a lady, and the lady had had voodoo used upon her, and there was voodoo spirits in her house. As I walked through the door, knocked on her front door, and opened the door, the lady fainted. And I said to her, jokingly, well, I know I'm getting on a bit, but I thought I was still quite a good-looking man. And she said to me, no, it's not that. She said, did you see who's behind you? And I said,
wow.
No. She said, there's an angel behind you.
Oh, my
and
God.
And she said, there's an angel walking with you.
That's
now, this
it.
Lady, she had voodoo spirits, and we went and prayed over the house, and one thing or another, and prayed for her.
Yes.
In the early hours of the morning that night, she said she was woken up by a tall man about 7 foot leaning over her bed who looked Haitian in appearance. And he pointed down and he looked at her and he said to her, because you allowed this man into your house, I now have to leave. And he bent down and he went along the skirting and he took a rotten papaya, a rotten mango, and a rotten yam, and he scooped them up and left the house.
Wow, Pastor Michael, I'm looking at the time. I have to close the show, but I don't know how to thank you enough. And people, you don't know what a blessing Pastor Michael is. Look how wonderfully and powerfully he used of the Lord. If you need him to have meetings, and I haven't even asked him if that's the case, you've got to support him in every way you can. I thank you all for listening. Thank you, Pastor Michael, so much.
Thank
for being
you.
Present. And as we have talked before, I would like to have you on a regular basis, so I want to see.
That would be wonderful. I would love to come on again, and I know we've had a few mishaps with the connection, but I know that would never happen again. I know the devil was frightened of us speaking tonight. I know he didn't want it at all, but he has been found out and rebuked in the name
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Amen. And God bless you. And love to Janice, your wonderful wife.
And can I just say one thing before I go? I want all the people in America to support this radio station.
Oh,
Judge Eve is telling the truth. She is telling the truth. She is like the best wine. She is a wonderful woman of God. You must support her, and you must listen to her shows all the time. In the name of Jesus, God bless America and God bless its people.
Thank you so much, Pastor Michael. God bless you and Janice, and I pray that the angels come in and bring you bread on every wave in the form whatever you need to get your life in perfect order in Jesus'
Amen.
Mighty name. Thank you, and God bless you.
God bless you, and my love to everyone in the USA.
Thank you, and mine to England. God
bye
bless
bye.
You. Bye-bye.
We'll speak again soon, okay?
Oh, definitely. Okay. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem. Edenu shalom, shalom, shalom aleichem.